Tota pulchra est Maria, et macula originalis non est in te. You are all beautiful, O Mary, and there is in you no stain of original sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, finally, after 9 days of preparation, we have arrived at our great feast day of the Immaculate Conception. Holy Mother Church proposes for our meditation the Gospel of the Annunciation from the first chapter of St. Luke. Let us go through it, and we will see that the Archangel Gabriel, in the Annunciation, already spoke of Our Lady as the Immaculate Conception. Kyrie ke caritomene, o Kyrios metasu. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. With these words, the angel Gabriel greeted Our Lady. St. Luke tells us in the Gospel proposed for today's meditation, Kyrie ke caritomene, hail, full of grace. These words show clearly the admiration and veneration that the messenger of God had for Our Lady. The Holy Gospel tells us that Mary was troubled with these words, asking herself, what could these words mean? Angels have visited many prophets, patriarchs, and saints in salvation history, but no salutation has contained such praises as this one. For this reason, Our Lady was taken aback. In the lessons of Matins for today's feast day, we read from a passage of the book of Genesis of another meeting of a woman with a celestial being, although a fallen one. Our Lady possibly thought of that one, and prudently she remained quiet at first. Only after the archangel spoke a second time did she make a reply. However, in using the words that he did, the messenger of God was not only eloquent, but also showed the great wisdom of a heavenly being initiated into the divine mysteries. Effectively, he was announcing that the moment had come when the legacy of Eve was to be transformed into that of Mary. If the angel greeted her so, then the woman before him, who was to be the mother of God, had already been prepared for such an important task. At the time of the Annunciation, Our Lady must have been already holy and well prepared for this work of redemption. The archangel greeted her with the word ke caritomene, which we translate in English as full of grace. Of course, it is quite likely that he did not speak Greek to Our Lady, but St. Luke chose to use this word in his Gospel. Our Lady had something that Eve lost by original sin. St. Gabriel does not say that she is in a state of grace, but in fact he says something far more profound than that. In using the word ke caritomene, St. Luke wanted to tell us something very precise by the tense and the voice that he chose. This word in Greek implies both the present and past time all at once. Without going into precise philological details, St. Luke was pointing out to us that the angel Gabriel used this word to indicate that Our Lady was made perfectly holy and therefore prepared to be the Mother of God by His transforming grace from the beginning of her existence in the womb of St. Anne. Moreover, grace transformed her completely and permanently. This word is not used anywhere else in the scriptures or anywhere else in Greek literature. The phrase full of grace is not a perfect translation, but the modern translation, highly favored one, is even worse. The grace of God transformed Our Lady so that not only was she chosen from created humanity to be the Mother of God, she was also divinized by His grace, to be prepared to receive God Himself in her womb. She was, in a way, imbued with grace in her very being. Our English Bibles use the phrase full of grace when speaking of St. Stephen in the Acts, chapter 6, verse 8, and in the prologue of St. John, chapter 1, verse 4. However, in the Greek, both St. Luke and St. John use pleres charitos. These words are adjectives and describe St. Stephen or our Lord differently. The word used for Our Lady, ke charitomene, was specially formulated for her. This means that the Archangel Gabriel was communicating to the Blessed Virgin and to us that she has a unique name, a unique title, a unique role in sacred history, and is a unique being in the story of our salvation. Her very name, her very title, her very office, her very person is to have been endowed with grace in preparation of her role as Mother of God. That is why it is significant that this word, ke charitomene, was used as a proper noun, as a new name for Mary, our Mother. Hail, full of grace. This is very important, since in all of salvation history, when God gave someone a new name, he was giving them a new mission. Before Mary was Mother of God, in Greek Theotokos, or in Latin Mater Dei, before she was Mother of the Church, Mater Ecclesiae, she was full of grace. Ke charitomene. Ke charitomene is who Mary is, and not only what she has. That is why the messenger of God could go on to explain to her that the Holy Spirit would come over her, and the power of the Most High would overshadow her, so that she would conceive the second person of the Trinity in her womb. Here again, St. Luke used the same words as with the Ark in the Old Testament to point out that Our Lady would become the Ark of the New Covenant. St. Gabriel goes on to say to the Virgin, O Kyrios Meta Sou, the Lord is with thee. It means that even before Mary had conceived our Lord in her chaste womb, she already possessed him in her soul. Mary had always had the Lord with her. And like the first Eve, who lost the God who had once been with her, the new Eve had, like the first, received God from the first moment of her existence, but never lost him. We feel the allusion to a contrast between the first and the second Eve. The first lost the God who had once been with her. The second, like the first, received our Lord into her from the first moment of her existence, but never lost him. She continued from first to last and forever to have him with her. She was not only daughter of the Eternal Father, she was destined also to become the very Mother of the Son and the veritable bride of the Holy Ghost. Nothing defiled could be permitted to enter, even for an instant of time, into the creature that was thus predestined to contract such close relations with the adorable Trinity. Not a speck could be permitted to tarnish in Mary that perfect purity which the infinitely holy God requires even in those who are one day to be admitted to enjoy the sight of his divine majesty in heaven. Mary is the first of all creation to be free of the curse that Adam and Eve brought upon the human race. Being free of sin, she was not under the punishment visited upon Eve. For this reason, the angel could say that she is blessed among women. She is the first to be free of the suffering and sorrow that all women have to endure in bringing forth children. Thus we see that in the greeting of the Archangel Gabriel to Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception is already contained. From all eternity, God had chosen Our Lady to be the mother of his Son. She was the Immaculate Conception in the mind of God before anything was created. She is the Immaculate Conception from the first moment of her existence. Her Immaculate Conception is the foundation of all the graces and privileges granted to her. In the Alleluia of the Mass, we say, Tota pulchra est Maria, et macula originalis non est inte. The children of Adam are conceived with the guilt of original sin. For Our Lady, this is not so. Thou art all fair, O Mary, And the stain of original sin is not in thee. From the first moment of our existence, we are children of wrath, an object of abhorrence to God. Original sin has made us so ugly, so hateful, and so worthless that its defilement has covered our whole soul and whole person. Our Blessed Mother has been preserved from all of this. From the first moment of her existence, she was full of grace, perfectly pure and holy, and most pleasing to God in her heavenly beauty and holiness. She alone of all mankind has been preserved from the stain of original sin. She is the spotless lily, full of purity and light. If God is to take up his abode in us, we too should be bright, pure, spotless, a clear mirror of the glory and holiness of God. God comes only to the pure. Therefore, today we follow the example of our forefathers in the faith, and with all the church we thank God for Mary's Immaculate Conception. Blessed Pius IX proclaimed this dogma of the church 170 years ago today. The church has always known in some corner or the other that Our Lady was conceived immaculate. However, 170 years ago, this dogma was proclaimed and made a universal feast. In singing the Magnificat, so soon after receiving the Annunciation, Our Lady showed her gratitude to God for the work he was to bring about through her. We should take note that the Immaculate Mother is a member of the mystical body of Christ, like ourselves. Her purity, her abundant grace, her virtues belong also to us. She has received this immense treasure, not so much for her own benefit, but for that of her children, and for that of the entire mystical body. From the Immaculate Conception, Our Lady has received from God all of her other privileges. Her birth to Saints Anne and Joachim, her holy name, blessed among the nations, her presentation where she was able to spend so many years with God, her Annunciation, as we have seen, the culmination of this preparation, the Visitation, where our Lord did his first act of redemption by redeeming St. John the Baptist and St. Elizabeth, her humble observances of the laws of her purification, her manifestation of great faith in her sorrows, her assumption at the end of her life, and lastly, her coronation as Queen of Heaven and Earth, when we learn that she is more mother than queen. Being the first among the disciples of our Lord, the one most closely united to him, more closely in fact than all the saints put together, she is our only hope in difficult moments, and without fail she will lead us ever closer to our Lord. As our Lord honored her for her entire life, let us learn from him and honor her in our own. The spiritual writers have said that what drew God to choosing her for his mother was her humility. He has regarded the lowliness of his handmaid. For this reason, chosen to be the mother of God, Our Lady could say when she visited St. Elizabeth, "He who is mighty has done great things for me." She is the first of all creatures in sanctity and beauty, free from sin from the beginning of her life. All through her life, she grew in merit and ended her time on earth free from sin. As children of such a mother, let us imitate her to the extent we are capable in her devotion, her meekness, her simplicity, her modesty, and her sweetness. Copy her faith, her patience, her obedience, her meditative spirit, her fortitude, and her self-surrender to the will of God. Let us imitate her purity. Without her help in this domain, it is impossible to advance to heaven in this, our present world. Think of her often. Meditate on her life. She will calm our fires of concupiscence, help us to guard our senses, teach us patience and perseverance. She is our comfort in our discouragements, our tiredness, our help to rise again after our falls, our reward for our successes. She will help us stay on the way of truth, Our Catholic religion has the gift of making the young heart chaste because it gives us Jesus Christ for our food and Mary for our nursing mother. It is with her help that we can prove this in our lives and show the world that the religion that we follow is not a false one. In the very face of the world, we can vindicate the glory of our Mother Mary by the simplicity of our deportment and the sanctity of our words and deeds. She can give us the royal heart of innocence. She is the beautiful gift of God to us. Sharing in the power of the Almighty God, she is stronger than an army in battle array. No one who sought her in sincerity has been disappointed. Let us heartily rejoice in the Lord for giving us such a great mother, placing her before us, and imitating her in everything, we are sure to reach our heavenly goal. O Mary, through thy Immaculate Conception, make my body pure and my soul holy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.